How does it affect us? Briefly, I'll share on what mysticism is, but basically, I want to zero in on how it affects us as the body of Christ. Because there's a lot of mysticism in the body of Christ. We need to be able to discern the spirits. We need to be able to know the difference between true spirituality and sheer mere mysticism. Mysticism is a reaction to rationalism, intellectualism, to living by reason. It's when a man tries to live by mystical experiences, the otherworldly, just not determining reality by visible things or by the five senses. And there's a lot of that in our world today. Transcendental meditation, yoga. The New Age is just full of mysticism. There's a lot of mysticism that is going on in our age. Yes, because mysticism comes from the word mystery, I want to just deal with the roots of mysticism. You could read a lot about mysticism, and there's a lot that's going on. All Eastern religions, yoga and all those kind of things, they're just everywhere, on the marketplace, in the business world. But how does it affect us as a body of Christ? That probably is what's more important to us, because there is some kind of religious mysticism that's prevalent in the body of Christ today. So we need to, first of all, I need to share the sources or the scripture on mysticism. The word mysticism comes from the word mystery. Mystery. There are two mysteries, and the Bible talks about those two mysteries. And these are the ones that I want to talk about tonight. If you brought your Bible, let's begin by reading a scripture as we get started here. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, we're told of a mystery, the mystery of godliness. And there is another mystery, and that's the one we're going to deal with tonight, the mystery of iniquity. All mystical experiences are based upon these two mysteries. The mystery of godliness and the mystery of iniquity. Or mystery Babylon. So first of all, just introduce to you the mystery of godliness. It is a mystery that was hidden through the ages that has been revealed to us in Christ Jesus. In other words, it's a mystical experience when the Lord comes into your life and when you discover this mystery, the mystery of godliness. So there are two mysteries that are constantly going on in our city, in our lives, and in the world. You are either in the mystery of godliness or the mystery of iniquity, whether you know it or not, and you are having mystical experiences. Now, let's just begin by reading verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. There is a mystery in our world, a greater mystery. It's the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God became man. That's a mystery. How God would become man so that we, the sons of men, may become the sons of God. That's why God sent His Son to become the Son of Man, so that we, sons of men, may become sons of God. This is the greatest mystery. And there are current mystical experiences you can have as you come to know Jesus. And we'll give a will kind of give you tonight. This is the mystery of godliness. This is the other mystery. And the other mystery is based upon the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of Babylon. And we'll also show that. I'm going to dwell more on the mystery of Babylon, because that's why you're here. I want to know about the mystery of Babylon, because that mystery is the one that is going to take over the new age, or has already taken over our age. God was manifest in the flesh, that is Jesus. Justified in the Spirit. Seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. That is the mystery. God was made in the flesh. God became man. He took His glory, His divinity, took all His attributes as God, and put them aside, and took on your humanity, and became one of us. And that is a mystery that's still being unfolded. The gospel is that mystery. That mystery you can enter in, but the other mystery is a mystery of iniquity. There are only two sources of any mystical experience, either God or the devil, and we'll show that tonight. Now, on this mystery, there are six things that makes up the mystery of godliness. Number one, God was made in the flesh, or became flesh. Number two, justified in the Spirit. That means when He died, He justified us. Seen of angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. That's just the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the mystery that we preach. Christ crucified. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the more glorious mystery. Now there is another mystery that you find in 2 Thessalonians. Let's turn to that. Chapter 2. That's the mystery that we want to discuss more tonight. The mystery of iniquity. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, talking about the men of sin, the end of the time, and in verse 7, he talks of a mystery that we're gonna spend most of our evening talking about, the mystery of iniquity. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The mystery of iniquity. Verse 7. Just underline the word the mystery of iniquity. That is the same mystery that you find in Revelation chapter 18. Mystery Babylon. The mystery of iniquity. Now the mystery of iniquity began in the Garden of Eden. Eve was tempted to experience God in an unauthorized way, to have access to information apart from God, to have insights. People are involved in mystic experiences or seek after mystical experiences in order to gain information, forbidden information, things that God has not given to man. All mystical experiences is to bypass the Word, to bypass Scripture, to bypass Jesus, and have a spiritual, mystical experience. And we'll talk about these more, what they are, how people get into, receive these mystical experiences. God wants us to have mystical experience in Christ Jesus, because in itself, the birth, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is such a mystical experience that you cannot comprehend it by the mind. The mind cannot understand how one man died for the whole world. We can never understand the depth of this mystery. But what has been given to us in Scripture is what God wants us to have. Now, mysticism is trying to gain information about things that God has said no. That's what Eve was tempted on. The serpent said, I will tell you. As a matter of fact, God is cheating you. You could be like God and have same experiences like God. Know the same things that God knows. Actually do the same things that God does without God. I will give you that mystical experience. If you eat that apple, you will have a mystical understanding, a mystical experience. You come into a knowledge that God doesn't want to give you. And that mystical knowledge is there. But God forbids that we receive mystical experiences apart from Jesus. That is why the temptation to seek after mystical experiences is so powerful, including the former president Ronald Reagan. He wanted information from mystical sources. All the occult horoscopes, whatever you call them, all the stuff that people look into, fortune cookies, all those type things, you know. They are people trying to get some information. Oh, it said this. This is what's going to happen to me. They want to know something apart from prayer and waiting upon God and the Word. Now, in order for us to have a better understanding of what mysticism is a special secret way to obtain certain initiatives. Knowing about reality, especially spiritual reality, through a forbidden way, through a way that God has not authorized. God wants us to know Him through the Word. God has revealed Himself through the Word. God is in His Word. All other ways apart from Jesus Christ are condemned. Whether it's sitting and waiting for vibes, whether you just kind of open yourself to receive some kind of vibes or some kind of sensation or be part of the cosmic spirit, whatever it is, it's forbidden by Scripture. God forbids all those mystical experiences. Whether you look for them or you experience them because of things that happened in your past. Maybe you were once involved with the occult and you had some mystical experience. You need to denounce those because that's an open door for more uninvited mystical experiences or demonic experiences. Mystical experiences, apart from the Scripture, apart from Jesus, are demonic. There are only two sources of mystical experiences. The mystery of iniquity, that's a whole area of spiritual reality that's open to anybody who wants to know things apart from Jesus. And the mystery of godliness, that's a whole new dimension that you could enter in. You are free to enter into that experience. As a matter of fact, that's the only authorized, the only one that God has given a mandate, is Jesus, to be the mediator between man and God, to give us mystical experiences, spiritual experiences, if you want to just use a better word, spiritual experiences. Mystical experiences are trying to obtain spiritual information from the spirits apart from Jesus. And the spirits do exist. And mystical experiences are very real in our town. They are here, they're here in Fort Worth. You can have all kinds of experiences. Whether you study mysticism or whether you practice mysticism, the fact remains you can have mystical experience if you seek after mystical experiences. And many believers, as I will show tonight, do seek after mystical experiences and they do get involved with the wrong spirits. Mysticism is an escape from reality. When you can't cope with life, when you can't make sense out of life, then you seek after mystical experience. You seek another source of strength, information, guidance, special clothes, special dates, the 13 or some number. All kinds of mystical things you could do. My birthday, such and such a day. You certain colors to wear on certain days and certain seasons. There are all kinds of. We could spend all night if we ever want to cover that area of mysticism. Because all it is demonic, seeking after demonic information. And the devil wants mysticism to look very innocent. Actually, a lot of Christians are involved in mysticism and they don't even know. The reason why people seek after spiritual experiences like that or mystic experiences like that is because it makes them special. It gives you a feeling of being special, of knowing something that nobody else knows, of being able to do certain things that nobody else can do. That's why people seek after mystical experiences. It is evil to be moved by some mysterious supernatural force. People like to blame their decisions on some immediate intuition, or, I just felt I couldn't resist. God told me I had to do it. We like to have some, now I'm talking about narrowing down to spiritual mysticism, because that's the main reason why we're here, is to know how we could be misled or deceived and get ourselves in a false mystical experience while we are seeking after God. Intuition, inner feeling, inner guidance. I couldn't help but do it. I felt I had to do it. I was moved to do it. I couldn't help but do it. Either the devil made me do it. When you're forced by a mysterious force, that's a mystical experience. And the reason why people like to have mystical experiences is because you can avoid responsibility. You see, I didn't do it. This spirit told me to do it. Have you ever watched on television, a guy says, the devil made me kill that person? I didn't want to do it. I'm not a bad person. That wasn't in my mind, but something took over my mind. They deny responsibility for their actions. That's why mysticism is a wonderful escape for a lot of people, even Christians. God made me do it. God doesn't make anybody do anything. The devil made me do it. Neither the devil nor God makes anybody do anything. We choose what God tells us. If God says, come, we make the decision to go. It's an act of faith. And I'll show later on tonight how mysticism and spiritualism and spiritual experiences are totally different. When it's mysticism, what happens is you don't need faith. You don't need faith. When God tells you and you just do it, you don't need faith. You couldn't help but do it. So there was no act of faith. And everything that's not of faith is not of God. And number two, you avoid accountability. There is no accountability. And if spirit does it, there's no accountability. And you bypass the word. That's why all mysticism is against the Word of God. Now, if you get your notes, I am at 7a. Signs and wonders, visions, revelations given to Christians from God as a byproduct of faith in the Word. In other words, we do have mixed, some experiences, spiritual experiences, but those are based upon the Word of God. Any other experience, supernatural experience, that bypasses reason, that bypasses the mind, must be based upon the Word of God. Anything that will bypass the mind in normal reality, unless it's subject to the Word of God, must be rejected. The early church did have mystical experiences, or they did have supernatural experiences. Mark 16, Acts 5, 7, 8, 14, 2 Corinthians 12, 12, Acts 2. Many Christians today become mystical. I can't say it. When they seek for signs rather than seeking God who gives the signs. Oh, this is so important. I tell you, this is so important. Who do you seek? Who do you seek? Do you seek after an experience, or do you seek God? Do you seek for guidance, or do you seek God? Because that's what opens your life to supernatural, either demonic experience. If you seek after an experience, a word, guidance, or just sensing God, or a feeling of His presence, that can lead you into opening your life to demonic activity. The Word is not the only way to experience the Word and its reality and power. But all experiences must be tested by and subordinated to the written Word of God. Now, if you have any experience, any supernatural experience, unless it's tested and subordinated to the Word, you must reject it. Many times people receive words from God that are contrary to the Word of God. That's same as going to a fortune teller and receiving information that is contrary to the Word, that is contrary to the ways of God, that is contrary to the revealed will of God. It may be good, but it's not good. The same applies to me when I open up my life to the spirits and another spirit comes in. That's why the scripture says we must test every spirit to see whether they're of God or not of God. Because the moment you become spiritual, you are in a realm of the supernatural. You don't know which supernatural spirit is going to show up. Because you have stepped out of reason, out of outward reality, to another dimension where you have no control of who shows up. Now, in that experience, you better know scripture, that whatever you receive must check out with the Word. Because if it doesn't check out with the Word, you're just like those people outside the body of Christ who are receiving supernatural experiences, not from Jesus. And they think these experiences are from good spirits. They're not always go and shoot people. Sometimes they're very nice words. They're very encouraging words. But they are not from the right source. Because what we're talking about is how you receive otherworldly experience. How do you receive experiences from the spiritual dimension? You can receive spiritual experiences from the spirit or from the devil. And this also applies not only to those who are seeking after a demonic experience, but who are seeking after a godly experience. And many times it happens, let's say you are praying and your life is compromised there's sin in your life, and that means that there is an open door. And the devil can use that occasion to come and lie to you. Remember last Sunday evening I said he was a pastor who was asking the Lord whether he should divorce his wife and marry another one. Because he had seen another one. He lied. So he wanted a mystical experience. So he decided he would fast and pray. So he said, he preached here. He preached for us a couple of years ago. Some of you might know him. And I won't preach in this church. And he went out, he rented this cabin and was praying. And asking God. God, should I divorce my wife and get a new one? And God said, divorce your wife, get a new one. So he came down here. He said, Robert, you're wrong. I said, why? He said, well, you say God hates divorce. And you say, I'm not to divorce my wife. But I checked with God. I fasted 10 days. And God told me, get rid of that old woman. Get a new one. And I looked into him. I said, Tom, you're deceived.
Amen.
Jesus did not show up. He had already opened your life to deception. And another spirit showed up and said, oh, don't worry. Just get rid of her. And he said, the Lord just showed me something. He didn't want me to be unhappy the rest of my life. Why would God, who loves me so much, want me to be unhappy with this woman the rest of my life? The Lord showed me he was love. And because he's love, he showed me he wants me happy. And I can never be happy with this woman. So I know God wants me to get rid of her and get another one so I'll be happy. You can have these kind of supernatural experiences that are totally, totally demonic. The moment you step out of reason into this realm of the supernatural, everything you receive must be checked out by the Word. There are so many experiences, so-called spiritual experiences, that are nothing but demonic experiences. There are so many words that are not from the Lord, that are from the other source. Now, this is why this very, I just was so excited when Jim said, he wanted me to teach on this. I said, I love that because I tell you, many Christians I meet, they are so deceived of this area. Because many times when you're preaching, we don't have enough time to share. But hey, be careful when you listen to the Lord. Don't always receive everything you receive or that you hear. Don't accept it. You better check it out with Scripture, see whether it fits in with Scripture. Because if it doesn't fit in with Scripture, it's just not from the Lord. It's a supernatural experience. It is true. It's supernatural. It's true. It's not from your head. It's true that you heard it. But there is another source that can also send messages. And you received the wrong message. And now, that's why even the Scripture teaches us that we must check every prophecy, examine every spirit. Because not every spirit is from the Lord. In other words, all supernatural experiences are not always from Jesus. Paul warned the first believers about being puffed up by visions and experiences and dreams. These were the people that were into visions and dreams. Hey, I had a good one last night. Man, I had a vision. They were always seeking after visions. If you seek after visions, you will get visions, and they will not always be from Jesus. Because when Jesus speaks, it's going to be a long, long time. The Lord is slow. He show up once in 5 years to give you a vision. He's not going to give you, but the devil can give you visions every week, every day. It's got a lot of those. It just gives you a lot of them because you've opened yourself to the supernatural and moved from the realm of reason to the spiritual dimension. Because you're going by supernatural guidance, the devil is quick to say, put your hand in my hand and I'll lead you. And he will mislead you. Mysticism, that's what it is all about. It's satanic guidance of people, either in the secular world or in the spiritual world. And a lot of people are reacting to rationalism, just to living by reason. They know it's not true. They know the world is not just what you see, you sense. They know it's beyond the five senses of man. Everybody knows that. They know there's a spiritual dimension. It doesn't matter how sophisticated they are. Just like I gave you an example of Reagan. He knew that there's something more than just what appears. He knew there was another dimension and that he could ask for information from that other spiritual dimension. Now, I'll tell you that a lot of corporate decisions are made in the pit of hell. As a matter of fact, a lot of all political decisions are handed down from hell, direct from hell. Bokassa, a black dictator from Central African Republic, he wrote a book. He's talking about he and some of the heads of government in Europe used to meet and have these mystical experiences and rituals where they eat human flesh and consult with the spirits and make decisions. I wrote a book. Much of what we hear and see is all handed down from hell. Those who are in power knows you can't rule without the help of the supernatural. And they all consult the supernatural. Either Jesus or the devil. They know that humans have, we are limited in our knowledge. We are limited in our capacity. Reason does not know everything because we don't have all the facts. And everybody knows that you got either go consult somebody who knows the future, who's got a handle on all the facts. And it's either God or the devil. That's why people, when they try to make a decision just to, in the world to get married, they go to a fortune teller. Just tell me what's going to happen. They know that they're either going to make a wrong decision. They don't know how to judge people. They don't know how to determine anything. So in order to determine the future, they go to another source and find out. And sure enough, the devil will tell them. So this is not something that is, well, way back there, you know, when people were primitive, didn't know better. We're talking of people who know better, having mixed these supernatural experiences. How many of you have read this book? Gorbachev. Robert. Anyhow, I was looking at it tonight, and something was very fascinating to me. Talking about some experiences that some Russians had. Could you read from 6 here?
Six Soviet cosmonauts and eyewitnesses to the most awe-inspiring spectacles ever encountered in space. A band of glowing angels with wings and huge jumbo jets. According to Weekly World News, their secret was. Can we keep reading?
No, just stop right there. Well, that was a mystical experience in outer space. And they did see the angels, and they smiled at them. These are secular scientists. I saw them. Now, I have to tell you that. I don't believe that it was God's angels. I believe the devil showed up. He smiled and said, "You boys, you're doing just fine. I love what you're doing. I would just kind of come to see, you know, the program. And to tell you, it's great." 12 days later, they showed back up and say, "Hey, guys, what's happening?" Yeah. Now, that's an experience that, you know, a secular magazine put out. And I never doubt that they saw them. What I'm trying to tell you is that those experiences do exist and they do happen. But how do we determine that they are of God or they are of the devil? Because the most important thing for us is to be able to discern the spirits. But it was quite interesting that though they didn't believe in the supernatural, they came back believing in the supernatural. They came back believing in angels. Hey, we don't believe there's God. We don't believe there are angels. But we saw seven guys up there. And they described them. That in itself is very interesting. What I'm trying to say is that these experiences are not hoaxes. They are not lies. They are not people exaggerating. They do happen. 10. We Christians expect such experiences, but we do not major on them or seek them as ends in themselves or establish doctrine by them or focus on them to the exclusion of the Lord or regard them as higher than faith or superior. Danger, point 11. Danger is also spoken of by Peter, the danger that we encounter as Christians. We have a more sure word of prophecy, written word of God.
Amen.
You do well to pay attention to this as to the lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns, in the morning star arises in your heart. In other words, we don't need all those experiences. We can experience the Lord through the Word. Jesus brought us over to the Word of God. Our faith may bring and will bring wonderful experiences, but faith is not in the experience, but always in the sure Word of God. Don't trust what you experience. Don't trust your dreams, visions, experiences. Because they come and go. They cannot guide you. They cannot sustain you. They cannot give you the strength you need. You must always depend upon the Word. Schaeffer also warns against the current irrationalism and search for reality through experiences, especially of those mixed up. Variety. Such Christians today, even supernatural, spirit-filled. These are charismatic now. Spirit-filled. Some Christians today, even spirit-filled, become more excited about visions and dreams and signs, special revelations, so that they may begin to neglect the plain word of God. I call them glory seekers. They follow the glory cloud. When the crowd hears that so-and-so is in town, that's where they are. They're seeking after some word, some prophecy, some encouragement, some slain in the spirit or something. They're looking for something other than Jesus. Some go to spiritual men asking for a special word of revelation, hoping to be slain in the spirit.
God says it's an adulterous generation.
It is. It is. He also warns that the enemy is able to work signs and wonders, so Christians who seek such things are open to deception, seduction. You can easily be deceived. You can easily be misled. Except ye seek signs and wonders, ye are not to believe. Rather, blessed are those who hear and believe. If you just believe the simple word of God, the plain word of God, you're building on a firm foundation. You're building on the rock. You know, false mysticism makes men irresponsible. I am moved, determined by some mysterious spiritual force, not subject to the word. Rather be moved by the word than to be moved by some spiritual force. In other words, if you always wait for those forces to move you, let's say spiritual experience, feeling like praying, just some kind of a spiritual experience. That experience can be from the Lord or can be from the enemy. Or even if it's from the Lord, it doesn't come all the time, so you can't wait the whole week to pray. Waiting to feel like praying. You must pray because the word of God says, pray. Pray always. Just pray. You don't have to be moved. You don't have to feel like doing it. You don't need some mystical experience of sorts to make you enter into some spiritual dimension where you can receive some kind of vibes, some kind of union, some kind of relationship. You don't need all that. The word is all you need. God has spoken. That settles the matter. It is finished. It is done. It is over. God has said it. It's done. Just by faith, all things are possible. Also, the place of mysticism is a counterfeit approach to spiritual reality such as divides all men into categories or degree. Those who are mystics, rationalists, ordinary spirituals, religionists, those who go by, just sensing God. I just felt it inside, inner kind of guidance, inner thing. The Bible does not reject the idea that all men can know God. It is possible, it positively claims that all men can and do know God, but choose deliberately to rebel against Him and to deceive themselves into wrong thinking and wicked behavior. I want to stop right there because I want to tell you something. You can have a spiritual experience apart from the Word of God. And it can be a good one. And every man has that kind of experience. It's an inner experience that there is a creator. It's an inner experience that there is a God who is in control, who made the universe. It's within you, and it's a real experience that you, as a human being, can understand and appreciate. That is why Scripture says men are left with no excuse. To say, I didn't know, because within them, God has written His law. Within their very lives, in their conscience, God has given a certain measure of truth. But that truth is not adequate for salvation. In other words, there is a way you can experience, to a certain degree, a supernatural, one that you don't mediate, or one that you don't seek after, one that you just know, and you're conscious that this is not from your five senses, that this has to do with a supernatural power, or something that you have not sought after. You just know that I felt it. Even the ungodly knows that. They know there is a God. There is a feeling inside of them that tells them what I'm doing is not right and God is going to judge me. They are conscious of that. What they are not conscious of is how to be free. That comes through the gospel. That comes through. So they are good experiences that are non-biblical or not based upon salvation experience. That are based upon being human. They are more of human experiences, human supernatural experiences, based upon the very origin of man, that man originated from God. God breathed into man, and man is a spirit in a body. Because man is a spirit in a body, man understands the laws of God. And he rebels against them. He chooses not to live by the word of God, but to do his own thing. So man being what he is, a spirit in a body, he has spiritual moments and spiritual experiences that he has not mediated, that he has not initiated or sought after, that is just part of his inherent nature as a child of God, as one that God breathed out, as one that is not an animal. And Romans chapter 2 talks about that. You are without excuse. So men have no excuse. Man chooses to worship creature. But the Bible does not reject that idea that there are special classes of men who are able to know God more. All knowledge of God by regenerated man is not a matter of degrees or special visions given only to special initiatives or depth or chosen ones, but all are called to grow in the knowledge of the Lord and need special secret formulas or instructions or mystical awareness. In other words, anybody can be spiritual. We can all hear God. We can all have some experience with God that is not limited to being mature. A new believer can have a spiritual experience, and the real one. But we must reject those who seek after these experiences. The reason why this is so important is because we are living in the last days. There will be a greater spiritual experiences on the earth than ever before. There is going to be a tremendous supernatural experience for the average believer, an average person. The world is being demonized. In other words, people are being conditioned, even by Hollywood, by movies, to believe and to accept the supernatural. Because Satan is preparing to flood the world with supernatural experiences. Major supernatural experiences. The final one will be a man who will actually be the devil incarnate, called the Antichrist. And the Antichrist can only appear and be accepted by people who have already accepted demonic activities in their own lives, are already demonized, are already filled, possessed, controlled by Satan. And that's why they will accept him, because he'll be one of them. That's why in these last days there's going to be two groups of people. Those who know God, Daniel 8, will go on knowing him and becoming more like Jesus. And those who do not know the Lord will become more and more demonic in their lives. That was Daniel 12. He says, they that know their God will do exploits. And they are going to do great things. And those that do not know their God, that means the living God, know the other God, and they will also do exploits. That's why there is going to be a confrontation between the power of God and the powers of Satan, between darkness and light, between the children of God and the children of this world, between the seed of man and the seed of the devil, between the seed of Jesus and the seed of the serpent. There's coming a confrontation, and it's not going to be a financial confrontation. It's not going to be a psychological confrontation. It's going to be a spiritual confrontation. Those who are in the world are going to be demonized to a point that the scripture says you will be hated by all nations, because they will receive information, guidance from the devil. In other words, they will have a clear understanding of who they are. And they will hate those who are not with them. They will know you because of supernatural experiences. They will be in heaven. The devil is, it's amazing. When I was in Hollywood on our way back here, we went to Universal Studio. I was amazed at the demonic activity in that place. It was totally demonic. And openly demonic. I mean, it's aggressively demonic. The supernatural is not like, we don't talk about those things. It's like, that's all they talk about. These
These experiences, these out of this world experiences, these otherworldly experiences, these things that are for the for those who have been initiated. And it seems like they want everybody to get in. Like, this is the latest thing, and this is the latest way. This is the way to go. Is you got to know your gurus. You got to know your spirit. You got to talk to them. People are talking to Satan, and the devil is becoming more open. He's saying, "Hey, you want me? Here I am." You know, he's displaying himself as God is displaying himself. The devil is also doing the same thing. That's why we who love God needs to be aware of all these satanic experiences that are taking place, so that we can be either be used by God to warn those whom we know who are seeking after these experiences apart from Jesus. We ourselves need to be equipped for warfare. These classes have been a preparation for warfare, because we are entering into the highest spiritual warfare of all time. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. These are the ones that are controlling our world, the politics of this world. The scripture clearly says the devil will give his seat to the Antichrist and power, great power. That means Satan himself knows that he is the God of this world, and that he has power over the secular world, the ungodly world, the unregenerated world, that he controls that world. And he is going to be in such a control of the secular world, the economics of the world, the educational system of the world. Every system out there is going to be under a tight demonic control. That is why you, as a child of God, must be so tuned to the Spirit of God, because whatever you do is not going to be just a natural, normal thing. People are just realizing that life cannot be limited to the five senses, that there has to be something more, and they're looking for that something more, and they're finding it in the devil, and he's giving it to them. I mean, it's becoming every magazine, everywhere. It's everywhere. In schools, I mean, you know, this is what, they don't want to teach scripture, but they want to teach yoga in schools. The managers, that's what they learn. You can't climb up the corporate ladder unless you get into mysticism. It's all mysticism, because it's all satanic, and the devil is like, he's like Superman. He's saying, you wondered who I was? This is who I am. I'm in control. That's why you go in schools, that's all they teach the children. You go into the corporate world, that's all there is. The devil is coming out and openly challenging the Christians. Now, we need to be aware of that. But as people are talking, and I want to tell you, it's powerful. It's extremely powerful. One evening, I went over to see somebody right here at Harris Hospital. And this guy came out of the blue. We started talking. And he looked right into my eyes. He said, "You're the man that's going to have a radio station to push around the world, aren't you?" And I said, "Wait a minute. Who are you, you know?" And then he started telling me some other stuff. And he was dead right. He said, "We know every one of the Jesus people. I'm from Brazil. Every witch knows what's going on. It's a whole lot of us here."
Praise God.
And I walked like, whoa, God, you know, it was a chilling experience. Who are you guys, you know? They know. I mean, they know. I had not said a word. I just, you know, talk about the weather. That's what I was interested in. Talk about the weather. The guy just didn't want to talk about the weather. He wanted to talk about, "Don't you think I know who you are?" "He don't know me. He didn't know me. But I know you." I tell you, the demon said, "Paul, we know. Who are you?" And I went, we know. We know those who belong to Jesus. We know those who belong to the devil. We know who you are. We know what your program is. The devil knows every bit of our program. There's so much demonic, supernatural experience going on in the world. And there's a lot going on in the body of Christ, which is nothing but demonic interference. The devil coming in because we compromise ourselves. Because we are carnal in our thinking. Because we are not reading the word. We are not protected by the word. So we get some supernatural experience that's not of God. That will happen to a lot of believers in these last days because the devil is not going to just concentrate on those whom he already owns. He's going to try to concentrate on Christians and give them supernatural experiences that are demonic. I remember preaching, and this lady jumped up, spoke in tongues, and everybody thought she was a holy woman, you know. Everybody knew her. She had the tongue thing, you know, singing tongues. She jumped up, singing tongues. I waited, I was preaching, I thought, I better stop and let the Holy Spirit have his way. Then she kept going. Then the Lord said, that's not my spirit. And I said, Father, expose that spirit. And all of a sudden, she started giving the interpretation. And the interpretation was, I hate you. I hate you. I mean, she was so angry at me. And I said, I hate you too. Because I know who you are. Then she ran forward. I mean, she ran forward. She wanted to grab me. And she fell right in front of me. And cast out that spirit. She's been the prophetess of that church for over 15 years. Everybody knew her as the most spiritual woman in town. All the demons. I tell you, there's so much counterfeit, so close to the real thing, that unless you are in the Word, in prayer, constantly checking everything against Scripture, you are going to be deceived. That's why Scripture says there will be great deception in the last days. Many false prophets, they'll be everywhere. They will be displaying miracles, wonders, signs. The supernatural will be displayed to make you believe them, follow them. Unless you are in the Word all the time, you cannot determine or discern what spirit is operating. Because the devil is going to show himself as the angel of light. You think mysticism is for the yoga guys, for the guys out there that are sitting there having some vibes, you know. You know, just sitting under a tree receiving some vibes, you know, having otherworldly experience. You think it's in church. Mysticism is in church. There's a lot of mystical experiences that are not from the Lord, of the Lord. They are from another source. There's a lot of that. We have to be very careful in these last days because mysticism is going to dominate our world. The politics of the world are already dominated by the mysticism. It's only the average person who thinks decisions are made in a normal way, in a logical way, where reason prevails. But I want to know that world is a dream world. That world never existed. Ever since Nimrod, that world has never, ever existed. Never. You rule either with God or with the devil. You don't just do things because they make sense. Or they're the right thing to do. Those who are in power know that. Those in big business, they know that. Those who are in big politics, they know that. Everybody's gonna know that. Because that's the only way business is done. There's no other way business is done. You're going to have an advantage on your competitor. You're going to know a little bit more than he knows. And the only way you do that is go check with some spirit. Go find out what's going on, and they'll give you the information. And that's how it's done. Now, we are going to see that kind of world become the normal, everyday world. Where it's the most accepted thing. In other words, scripture says, beware. Beware. Be careful. Be very careful. Because there will be tremendous experiences on the earth in these last days. But those won't be from the Lord. That's why we need to always check everything against scripture, against the word. Because our only protection is the word. The scripture says the just shall live by faith. Faith in the word of God. Faith is not in our faith. That's a mystical experience. When I have faith in my own faith, oh yeah. Oh, I feel it. Ooh, there. It's deep there. I feel it. Now I'm talking of something that you can check, you see? I'm talking about something that you can feel, that I'm telling you I feel. Oh, I feel the power. It's running through my hand. Well, how can you, with the scripture, check what's going through my hand? How can you tell what I'm having, whether it's a demon going through my hand or Spirit of God going through my hand? You don't know. You can't check out those things. That's why you cannot accept all those kind of things. We have to live by faith. That means by the word of God. Only by the word of God. Any experience can be of God and sometimes can be from another source. It doesn't mean that when you have a demonic experience, you're demonic. It just means you miss the word. There are many times when you do something and you're so sure that God said it, and it doesn't pan out. Do you hear me? There are many times you pray and you ask God, and you think you received a word. Of course you did receive something. And you believed that something you received, and you went ahead and did it, and it didn't pan out the way that you thought God said. That's a sure sign that you didn't receive that word from the Lord. It doesn't mean that you're not of God. It just means you missed the Lord. Before the Lord spoke, some other person spoke. He was quick. He knew you were looking for a supernatural encounter. Oh yeah, that person seeking for a supernatural encounter. Quick, go give a quick word there. They're not even in the word. They're just waiting. I'm waiting. When you wait like that, you're opening your life like antenna to receive anything that's out there. If there's anything out there in outer space, come on. And they will come and they will deceive you. That is why everything you do must be based upon the word. Everything must be checked out by the word. Everything. Unless it's in the word, don't receive it. You may receive a word from the Lord, but that word must check out with the word. If it doesn't check out with the word, reject it. Because God will not give you extra biblical experiences and revelations and guidances that are extra biblical. Everything there is to know is here. Everything there is to do is here. Everything that you are to be is here. Everything that is in heaven is here. Everything that Jesus is here. Everything that God is here. Everything that is to be experienced is in the Word. There is nothing beyond the Word. Now, many times we like the Word plus experiences. Because experiences are more fun, more exciting. God, if I can only be slain in the spirit. If I can only, it will be easier. It's a shortcut. It's a quick fix. God, I hate the idea of praying, reading the word, dying to the flesh. Why don't you give me a quick fix? Slay me in the spirit. Okay, that's it. Go ahead. Do it, Lord. Oh, I heard that there's a guy in town who slays people in the spirit. You go over there, get slain in the spirit. And sure enough, you get slain in the spirit. Then you think your anger is gone. Your self-pity is gone. Your frustration is gone. Your bitterness is gone. You'd be amazed to get up and those things are still there. Lust is still there. Anger is still there. Disappointment is still there. And you wonder, okay, I had a wonderful experience. I just was floating. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know what was happening. The sign that it's God is when God does something, the fruit is going to remain. But because you went seeking, not for Jesus, but seeking to be slain in the spirit, you got slain in the spirit. You didn't get Jesus. Because Jesus will say, go take up your cross and follow me. He will talk about death to the flesh. And that's hard. That's hard work. The other is easy. We like God to give us a fix. God, quick, do a fix. And that's why many Christians are getting a fix from the devil. He gives them a quick fix to make sure that they don't go to the word. Because if they don't go for a quick fix, the only other fix is the word. And that is long. And that's not easy. 29. Especially we who desire to be fully New Testament Christians, open to miracles and visions and prophetic utterances and the supernatural, must be careful to discern or to notice any occultic intrusions which would turn legitimate spiritual experiences into demonic, detracting sideshows. We accept the central mystery of our faith in Christ, but reject the mythical sideshows of human religiosity. Mysticism encourages irresponsibility. Since a man who hears God or has some direct experiences with the hereafter accounts for his behavior, cannot be questioned or called to account. If you tell me God told you, how can I advise you? How can I even help you? That's final. God said it. You are not open to accountability, no responsibility, because you're not responsible for your actions. Nor are you accountable to the body. That's why everything must be made subject to the word, subject to the word of God. Not only through the Bible, but through the many counsel. There is wisdom in much counsel. God will use the fellowship. A mystic has a direct experience and therefore is able to operate without faith. But the Bible says that whatever is not of faith is a sin. There you are. Christians should seek God in His Word as He has presented Himself and not desire special immediate experiences or visions or institutions or inner revelations beyond the Word. We reject these extra mysteries beyond the Gospel, which gives men special experiences or information, or visions, dreams, revelations, miraculous experience of God, or the supernatural must be thoroughly tested by the Word of God. I have to say this now, that I'm not against supernatural experiences. Peter had a supernatural experience. He was delivered by an angel from the prison. Paul had a supernatural experience in which he went to the third heaven. He didn't know whether it was in his body or out of his body. But he didn't seek for that experience. It just happened. Peter was just in prison and they were praying and God did it. You see the difference here? They were seeking after God and not seeking after experience. And the experience came as a result of their seeking after God. Now that's a big difference. When you seek after God and an experience happens, that's a legitimate thing. That is from God. But if you seek after experience, that's why it's so dangerous, extremely dangerous, to seek for guidance. Listen to me carefully now. I just want to put the final words and just tell you it is the most dangerous thing to seek for guidance from God. And that's the one thing that many Christians want to do. As a matter of fact, that's the one thing every Christian should do. But that is the most dangerous thing. Because now you're opening yourself to supernatural guidance, to a dimension that is beyond reason, where you have nothing to check against, examine anything against. It's a dimension where you have no control, where the spirits are in total control. You're opening yourself to doing things that you wouldn't normally do because of spiritual guidance. Now that is the most dangerous thing to do. Because seeking after supernatural guidance is seeking after supernatural experience. Mystical experience. Just seeking after the things that are beyond you. The revealed will of God. And if you do so, you'll be deceived. But if you seek God, God will guide you. Listen to me. There's a big difference. If you go out to God to check on your future, you will be deceived. The other spirits will hear that and they will be there before the Father shows up. Every person in the Word of God that had an experience in which God gave them guidance, they were not seeking after guidance, they were seeking after God. Every time you have to know what God is going to do, the other spirits will come and let you know what God is going to do. And you will be misled. But if you go after God and you come into intimacy with God, God will guide you. The steps of a righteous person are ordered of the Lord. God orders the steps of those who love Him. God reveals His will and His purposes to those who love Him. But it's a love affair. When you have a love affair with Jesus, you will know what Jesus wants you to do. Because Jesus said, "My sheep will hear my voice." But we don't go to Jesus to hear His voice. We go to Jesus to know Jesus, to be with Jesus, to have intimacy with Jesus. Now when we have intimacy with Jesus, we hear Jesus. We see Jesus. We experience Jesus. We have supernatural, otherworldly experience. A dimension in which normal human beings cannot experience, cannot enter in through the five senses. We enter into that dimension by the Spirit of God. But that only is a result of our love for Jesus. In other words, if you love Jesus and you seek after Jesus, you will have supernatural experiences. If you seek after Jesus, you will know the purposes of God for your life. But if you seek after knowing what God is going to do, what God is doing, what you're supposed to be doing, then you're going to miss the Lord. You're never going to know. You're never going to know. You're only going to be deceived. Because God does not tell people what to do. Because He does it for them, in them, through them. Therefore, He does not have to tell you. So all you have to do is to abide. As you abide with Him, He will guide you. He will make known to you His plan, His purposes. You will be translated to the third heaven. You will hear things that cannot be uttered. You will have supernatural experience. But if you open yourself only to the supernatural in order to get guidance or power, there are those who go to God for power. Power to heal. Power to cast out demons. Power to do things for God. Those who seek after power are in danger of receiving power from a different source. The wrong source. Because God is not in the business of giving people power. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 1:16, 17, and 18, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. The word of God is the power of God. The word of God equals the power of God. Now, if you're in the word, you will receive the power of God. In other words, you cannot receive from the devil if you go to the Father through the word. Because the devil is scared of the word. You understand what I'm talking about? Now, if you sit down and try to get spiritual vibes from Jesus and wait to receive these messages will come that they will not be from Jesus. But if you sit down, like he said to the disciples, go and sit down at Jerusalem. Sit down. They sat down, he says, wait. They were waiting in the word, waiting upon what God said, and God came to fulfill His word. Now, if I sit down in the word, God's going to speak to me. And I'm going to receive supernatural experience based upon the word. You understand what I'm talking about? I'm receiving revelation, but that revelation is from the word. Through the word is a confirmation of the word. So I am in the word and I'm receiving supernatural guidance. I'm receiving supernatural experience. It's beyond the five senses. It's truly a reaction to just living by reason and rationality. Appearances and second senses. I'm out of that dimension. I'm in another dimension. I'm in a spiritual dimension. But in this dimension, I am entering in to the spiritual dimension through the word. I have one key, the word of God. I'm going in through the word. I'm not entering the spiritual dimension through meditation. Meditation apart from the word invites demonic activity. Focusing on anything, even on some Jesus out there, some picture of a Jesus, something other than just the simple word invites another Jesus. It's not of God. It only invites the other spirits. That's why the scripture says in the last days, many will be deceived because there will be so much supernatural activity on the earth. Incredible spiritual activity that will look so close to the Bible. Now, unless you are in the Word, you will not be able to discern what is of God and what is not of God. That is why when you enter into the spiritual dimension, your key to the supernatural is the Word of God. You cannot enter into the supernatural dimension apart from the Word. Jesus is the door to the supernatural dimension. And there is a supernatural dimension. And you can also enter the other supernatural dimension without the word. It's easy to enter that one. It's available to you. The moment you say, I want to know something, the devil is ready to tell you. He will let you know. But unless you're in the word, you cannot hear from the Father. The Father has spoken in these last days through His Son Jesus. Father has already spoken everything that needs to be spoken through Jesus. He is between us and the Father. He is the mediator. He is the one bringing supernatural things into the natural realm. And it is wonderful to live by the supernatural power of God. It is the only way to live in the kingdom of God, as a matter of fact. Our knowledge is in part. We don't know everything. We have no knowledge of all the purposes of the Father. But as we seek to know everything that God is doing, we need to seek Him in the right way to get the right result. It is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. God wants us to know what's going on in the kingdom. God wants us to know what time it is. But everything He says, always check out the scripture. Everything He says, must check out the scripture. Everything He says, must check out the scripture. The reason I know my friend was wrong when he said to me, he'd been praying and fasting for 10 days, went out and lived in this little cabin, and Jesus showed up and said, divorce your wife. And I said, no. He didn't hear from Jesus. He did fast and pray. He did wait for God to tell him. But he didn't want Jesus to tell him through scripture. You know why? Because scripture already has that said there. I hate divorce, you know. Scripture already says, you know, you can't do that. So he said, well, I don't want to listen to scripture. I want to get it direct from God. What about my case? Isn't my case a special one? Mine is a special case. This girl is a special case. How about a special case, God? Just give me a special dispensation of grace so I can do it. And do it in the name of the Lord. And do it for God. Because He wanted to have a better ministry. He wanted to do it for God. God, can't I do it for you? Now, he was rejecting clear scripture. Clear scripture. Which says God hates divorce. You can't go, God can never tell you anything that goes against what He has already revealed. Though He did receive a message. He is comfortable in the message that He received. I never doubt that he got that word. But He didn't get it from the God of the Bible. He got it from somebody else who was waiting right in that cabin saying, hey, that guy's coming, let's just wait right here. We know what he's after. He wants to know whether scripture is right or wrong. We'll tell him scripture is wrong. So he's in there just starving himself to death, you know. He's just praying, you know, God, tell me, should I keep this woman? She makes me miserable. God says, don't keep her. That was not the living God. That was another God. I'll tell you something. You can hear, but be careful what you hear. If what you hear is not based on scripture, that is mysticism. Any mystical experience that does not check out of scripture is not of God. Now, you can have a lot of experience with God. Supernatural experience. And God wants you to have some. As a matter of fact, that's what the Bible is all about. The whole Bible is talking about supernatural experiences. Experiences that the five senses couldn't give to Moses. The experiences that the five senses couldn't give to David, Jehoshaphat. The experiences, every story in the Bible, we experiences that we are beyond human reality. Human power. Human wisdom. Human understanding. That's what the Bible is all about. It's all about these supernatural experiences. Because God is supernatural. And He will give supernatural experiences to His people. Now, you've got to plug in to the Word in order to come in to the right supernatural. That's why the most important thing I wanted to say to you tonight is that don't speak of the supernatural experiences. And that they are an escape from reason. People do that because they don't want to be responsible. Christians do that because they want to blame the devil. Christians do that because they want to blame their vision. Now, my friend, when he got this girl, he said, this was not my idea, brother. I didn't do it. God told me. I went fasting. He told me to do it. What could I do? You want me to disobey God? I said, go ahead and disobey. I remember telling him that. I said, oh, brother, just go ahead and disobey. Receive the word of the Lord. God loves that girl, and, you know, you can change her, you can change you. But I never loved it. Ever since we got married, I never loved it. Brother, you're talking about something that doesn't exist. Your spirit loves her. You loved her before you married her. You loved her in the Lord. It has nothing to do with love. Marriage is not based on love. Marriage is based on the will of God. That's all there is. The will of God. It is God's will. And that's it. Because love comes and goes, you know, stable. There are so many variables, so many factors that can affect it. But nothing can affect the will of God. Hallelujah. It is established. Praise God. Let's close our eyes in prayer. We like to have mystical experiences, supernatural experiences. God's kind of supernatural. For us, though, it is an escape from reason, because we know that flesh and blood is nothing to offer. It is true that all mysticism is an escape from reason. But for us, it's escape from carnality, the mind of the flesh. It is plugging in, or it is entering into the mind of God. By the Spirit of God. The Spirit that knows the mind of the Father reveals to us the mind of the Father. Though it is an escape from reason and the normal means of understanding and discerning things, it's because we know the limitedness of our human capacity, of our human wisdom. We are conscious of the fact that apart from Jesus Christ, we have nothing. We are nothing. That is why we seek God. We don't seek for wisdom. Jesus has been made unto us wisdom. He is our wisdom. That means He is all that we need. Jesus is all that we need. He has been made unto us wisdom, supernatural wisdom, superhuman wisdom, human wisdom beyond human capacity, wisdom beyond anything that this world can offer. Resources that are bigger and beyond men's human resources. Experiences that are beyond the human experience. Supernatural. Beyond the human. When we walk with Jesus, we are walking in a supernatural dimension. When we walk according to the Word of God, we are walking in a supernatural dimension. The Word of God is the wisdom of God. Our lives are governed and led and empowered and sustained by the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things, the visible world, was made by Him. And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. And we beheld him. We saw him who is the Word of God. And he was full of grace and truth. We can behold the Father, the ultimate supernatural mystical experience, the mystery of godliness is Jesus. This is the mystery that was hidden through the ages. This is the greatest mystery ever revealed in time, space, and matter. Ever revealed in this time dimension. The greatest mystery is the mystery that we hold. Christ in us. The hope of glory. That is the mystery. That is the mystery. That is the mystery that we partake of. That is the mystery that has been given to us by the Father. That is the mystery of godliness. We also know there is a mystery, the mystery of iniquity. The deep working of Satan. The darkness that covers the earth. The spirits that are operated in our world are against us. The Bible calls them principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. That we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. We are in a spiritual combat. We are engaged in supernatural conflict. And the weapons of our warfare against these mystical spirits, mystical experience, is not flesh and blood. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to the pulling down of the mighty spirits that control our world. Greater is he that's inside of us than he that is in the world. We have overcome him, the accuser of the brethren, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Families are in trouble because of this.